We are here.
Yep.
Hopefully.
I mean, not like we have anywhere else to be. It is day 3000 of quarantine. We're still here.
I don't even know what day it is, how long it's been. I was looking back. We have to keep note of work stuff, like daily updates for work. And it has been since, I think, March 23rd that I've been working from home. And I'm over it.
I was before that. I think we were like, because we had spring break the week before our quarantine started. So I've literally been at my house since March 13th.
Yeah, it's tough. Y'all not coming in, right?
No. I mean, yeah. Not that we can.
Smart move.
You know.
I mean, I think y'all could come to us. We just couldn't come to y'all. They're quarantining us from everyone. But I wouldn't if I were you. Just stay where you are.
Yeah, we don't know when we're going to have to go back to school, which I don't think that we are, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't think we are. They're talking about, well, for us, they're saying, I've heard in the next couple days, it's going to peak for us, or mid-May, so.
Yeah, I've heard that our peak's not happening till at least the end of April, beginning of May, so.
I think ours is in the next couple of days, we're supposed to peak, but I'm really hoping for that. It just breaks my heart, like, really, all these local businesses, the bars and the restaurants and the little shops, and it just breaks my heart
that,
you know, we already had one kind of new concept in Baton Rouge closed down, so that was a bummer, but, you know, it is what it is. We shall persevere, and it's birthday week, so
it is birthday
it can't be
week.
All bad.
Quarantine birthdays for
quarantine
quite a few
birthdays.
Of us.
So it's technically birthday week, but I don't know about your sister, but we're both like, talk to us after the quarantine. We're not celebrating.
See, we're doing like a, Hannah and Jess are going to come upstairs, just, you know, screw it. And we're going to do a Corks and Canvas and watch a movie and have cake.
See, that's fun.
So, not really,
I mean,
a
we'll
party. There's going to be four of us, but, you know.
Right. We're going to, like, I think there's going to be cake this weekend, maybe, but it's not like we're inviting friends or anything.
Oh, yeah.
I am planning on having a big blowout when this is all over. Like, if I'm not blacked out for a week, I'm doing it wrong, as far as I'm concerned. That's how big I want this thing to be. Like, celebrating the end of quarantine.
You're acting like you're the one turning 21 instead of your brother.
I know, right? He's going to want to do it, too. He's already said he's in. But celebrating, yes, today is Blake's birthday. Happy birthday, Blake.
Happy
I'm
birthday,
sorry we're
Blake.
Stuck in quarantine. It sucks, but it'll be worth it. And hey, at least now you can go to the store and buy a bottle of wine and Clorox it before you open it, or beer, or drive through a daiquiri shop, because those are still open. Talk about essential businesses. So
yeah, they need to
birthday.
Open some of those down here. So, yeah, that's a fun fact about the cousins in our family. Blake, Caroline, and Elise all have birthdays back to back to back, April 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Yeah, we turn up. One time I know we all had a birthday party together. We had it on a streetcar in New Orleans, which was really fun.
Yep.
And it was all three of us. And then it's kind of happened to where, like, hey, let's just get together and we'll celebrate all three. So, yeah. Usually Blake and I have it together, which is good because neither one of us really like the birthday song and we're not really, you know, center of attention people. I feel bad for Blake, though. I don't know that he's ever had a solo birthday. I've at least had a couple. So, but yeah, happy birthday. We love you. And this episode goes out to you. Oh, man. Did you get to see my pictures from this weekend? I think you liked them.
Yes.
I went really quick. I was so excited. I got to go crawfishing this weekend, which was so much fun. We stayed in quarantine. We went to my boyfriend's parents' house, and they live, like, in the middle of nowhere, which was really nice because it was kind of like business as usual. It didn't feel like you were quarantined. So got to do some fishing, got to do some running some crawfish traps. Got to eat said crawfish, and it was so satisfying, like, catching the fish that I'm taking home for us to eat on Saturday, and catching the crawfish that we got to boil that day. It was like, okay, I get it. I see. this could be fun for people.
That's your way of prepping for the end times. Meanwhile, I'm marathoning episodes of Survivor, hoping for the same result.
I'm like, yes, I've learned how to fish, which there is an art to it. And I caught a bunch of perch. And how to crawfish. And, oh, I started growing spinach. And I've got little seedlings. They're so cute. I'll have to send you a picture.
That's adorable.
And my herb garden.
I have a black thumb. Adorable. I can't even keep succulents alive. And those things are supposed to be hard to kill.
I heard they can be kind of finicky sometimes, though. Now, if you're killing aloe vera, then I'd be concerned. Like, that stuff.
I just forget to water it. It's not like it's Kylo when he barks at me that he wants me to feed him or refill his water bowl because he refuses to drink after the new puppy because she has cooties or something.
Oh, do you want to talk about the new puppy for a minute?
Yeah, Elise's birthday present, since we are working from home, was a new puppy. She is a black cocker spaniel. She's only 8 weeks old. She's peeing everywhere all the time. She bites. I call her little creature. Her name's Remy.
Oh, I liked Yzma. Just saying.
I sent Jess and Hannah screenshots of that entire conversation. They're like, oh, we're not even cousins and we want to be in this cousin chat.
So what Haley's talking about is Elise got the puppy and made the mistake of going to our cousin message, which includes me, Haley, and Haley's brother and sister, my brother, Blake, and our cousins, CJ and Nick. So came to us and said, hey, getting this puppy, super cute, need name suggestions. So she wanted name suggestions. She got name suggestions.
And what we learned from this chat was that Blake is having, Tigerland withdrawals or something. Is that,
yep.
And things along those lines that everybody wants to be out at the bars. Because mm-hmm. almost all of these names were alcohol-related or Tiger King-related, yep. Which I refuse to watch that show. I have not jumped on that bandwagon. Oh, they bird-boxed it so hard, and I did not fall for it.
You gotta. It's such a wild ride. It's just a train wreck. You can't help but watch it. And I'm not even going to say oh my gosh, this stuff happens at the end. It's so good. It's just this is bananas. And it just keeps getting more insane. And they're releasing another episode, bonus episode. So yes, get on it. Actually, I gave the Tiger King suggestions. Blake and CJ gave the alcohol suggestions. And then CJ got to the point where he was just staring around his room and just coming up with things like that.
Naming things remote. That he was looking at.
Yeah. They had some real, real winners, I think, that were just not fully appreciated. But you know what? Shout out to Blake and CJ because we had some good names. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
Speaking of alcohol and birthdays and quarantines and I don't know, whatever else, we're talking about haunted bars today. Woohoo!
Bars we can't go to. Woohoo!
All bars are ghost towns at this point where we are, which is just so sad. I miss my bar. I was talking to my boyfriend about how I miss Hayride, which is my bar. I walk in and people are like, Caroline, what's up? What you doing? What are you getting to? It's cheers for me. I love these people. And so I mentioned, I was like, yeah, I miss Hayride. And he starts laughing at me. And I'm like, look, I've had a longer relationship with some of those bartenders than I've had with you. And I shut him up real quick. He's like, well, you really put that in perspective for me. I was like, yeah. I went there and I was talking to the bartenders about you whenever we were talking. So, yes.
It's a cool place if you live in the Baton Rouge area. Caroline took me there once.
It's super cool. Hayride Scandal. Highly recommend. And I think you can Venmo them money to give the bartenders. So, definitely do that. It's my favorite. Brian, Daniel, Corey, they're the best. So, anyway, I digress. I'm having some withdrawals. But, as many bars are ghost towns now, we've decided to cover haunted bars in honor of Blake and his 21st birthday. Again, happy birthday.
And we both managed to stay home for this one.
We did. We both managed to stay home. New Orleans needs a lot of love, so I think both of our bars are in New Orleans. We talked, I think I go first this week.
Yeah.
All right. And I keep going big. I'm changing my ways. So I texted Haley really early and I said, I actually told her, do not do a bar in New Orleans because I'm going big and I was trying to keep it a secret. And then she guessed which one I was doing. And I was like, maybe, but yeah, this is the one I'm doing. You guessed it. So, my sources. Only in Your State, Ghost City Tours, which I always use Ghost City Tours whenever I'm doing the haunted episodes.
I try, and then I get, like, the pop-up chats from the tour guides. I'm like, no, I don't actually want to talk to you about a tour. I just want to look at your website. Thanks.
Yeah, just shush. And, of course, Wikipedia. The bar I'm going to tell you about has been around long before its location was even a city. If we've said it once, we've said it 1,000 times. From a parade a week to 5-star restaurants to opulent hotels, New Orleans is a city that gets into your blood and stays there, even after death. The Crescent City is no stranger to the paranormal, and the particular watering hole I chose is arguably one of the most haunted in the city, and counts pirates and treasures among its storied history. Tucked away on the corner of Bourbon Street and St. Philip Street, in the heart of the Vaucouverie, is a quiet and unassuming building. Not only is it one of the oldest in the French Quarter, and you'll find it looks that way too, it's unsurprisingly one of the most haunted. So of course, I'm talking about Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop Bar. It's a favorite watering hole for locals and tourists alike, both living and dead.
I have been there. Have you?
You have been there? I have not, no.
Really?
I haven't done the Bourbon Street thing since I turned 21. Like, if I go to New Orleans, I'm like, dang, what's the neighborhood that we go to?
See, I haven't been there to drink, but, like, before I turned 21, I had been there a couple of times. We went on a ghost tour of New Orleans, and we did go by Lafitte's and everything, but Mom and Dad, if we're down in the quarter, Mom wants to go down to Lafitte's, so.
No, I haven't really done the quarter since I've turned 21. We do, like, Chapultepec, we'll go down that way, and, like, Magazine.
So I know what we're doing this summer when I come home.
Yeah.
We'll go.
Oh, that's a given.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go there. We're gonna
take Blake.
We're gonna do,
that'd be great.
We're gonna take Blake. We're gonna do
Blake. Don't listen. It's a surprise. We're gonna plan this.
We'll bleep this out. I was gonna bring him to New Orleans. Do like a brewery tour thing. Like, there's so much good stuff.
Do the carousel bar and.
Yep, I have done that one actually. Now that I think about it, recently though,
go
it was,
check
like, a
out the place that I'm gonna talk about. Go get some absinthe in Pirate's Alley.
Yep.
Anybody who wants to join, we'll talk about it some more later.
Exactly. That's right. We'll have our own little parade. So Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop was a hot spot for the likes of Tennessee Williams, and it was actually like a gay bar for a little while too. It was declared a National Historic Landmark in 1970 and is on the U.S. National Register of Historic Places. The shop was most likely built as a house in the 1770s during the Spanish colonial period. It's one of the oldest surviving structures in the entirety of New Orleans, though not for lack of trying. The building escaped not one but two fires at the turn of the 19th century thanks to its slate roofing. And if you find yourself in New Orleans, drive by. In a city of unique architecture and odd characters, Lafitte still somehow manages to stick out like a sore thumb. Like,
it does.
When you go in the French Quarter, all the buildings look different and they all have character, but it's something where, like, if you're walking, Lafitte's shop sticks out. Like, I can't, it's
like, it looks like it belongs, but it does not look like everything else around it. You know that's where you're at when you see it.
It's like, it seems infinitely older than everything else around it.
We'll post pictures. Swear this time, because I did not post pictures on social media for our last episode.
Dude.
I dropped the bomb, sorry.
Okay. The shop gets its name from pirate and privateer Jean Lafitte, who called New Orleans home in the early 1800s. The building was said to be used by Jean and his brother Pierre between 1722 and 1732 for the Barataria Bay smuggling operations. And Barataria Bay was like a bay off the coast of like Venice and Grand Isle. Not the fun Venice, like the Louisiana Venice. In 1805, Jean operated a warehouse in New Orleans for the purpose of dispersing goods smuggled by Pierre. After the U.S. government passed the Embargo Act of 1807, the brothers moved their operation to an island in Barataria Bay, Louisiana, and by 1810, the Lafitte brothers' smuggling operation was booming, and the two decided to engage in the hobby of piracy. So, a quick history lesson pause. If you're wondering, the only difference between a pirate and a privateer is basically upper management. Pirates worked for themselves, privateers worked for a government, but both looted, robbed, and killed. One was simply better financed to do so and a little more socially accepted. So that's the difference. Jean Lafitte became a local Louisiana legend during the War of 1812 when he helped Andrew Jackson defend the city of New Orleans from the British. Man, like, I can't, you can tell I haven't been talking to people, like, I've been in isolation because I just can't talk. My mouth doesn't want to work today.
Understandable.
So, Jean Lafitte's assistance during the War of 1812 is why there are so many landmarks and buildings named for him in New Orleans today. He's really, really popular in the city and in Louisiana as a whole. With a building that's nearly 300 years old, filled with history, both of the savory and unsavory type, it's really no surprise that the ghosts and the stories run rampant. Notoriously the most haunted bar in New Orleans, and arguably even in the country, countless patrons have reported seeing and hearing unexplainable things in Lafitte's. There are several stories floating about that Jean Lafitte buried some of his treasure within the walls of the fireplace of the bar, so it's no surprise that many patrons have claimed to see Jean Lafitte himself checking in on his buried treasure. He typically appears as a full body apparition, which is apparently rarer than you would think, because oftentimes ghosts appear as a mist or as a shadow person. Lafitte, however, looks just like any other patron at the bar, except of course he's wearing sailor's gear. He's often seen in the corner, standing there quietly observing and lurking about in the shadows. He's typically seen on the first floor, close to the fireplace where allegedly his treasure is buried. If and when your eyes finally meet, he vanishes into thin air, perhaps satisfied with the still hidden state of his treasure. There's a spirit upstairs that isn't seen, but is heard. Legend has it that the ghost of an unknown female is thought to have ended her life there in the 1890s, on the second floor, and she still haunts the area. She's known for approaching visitors and staff and quietly whispering their name in their ears.
Ooh.
So imagine that, you're up there and you're like, Haley. And to round it all out, no haunted bar would be complete without a demonic presence or two. Many paranormal investigators have seen a pair of bright red eyes glowing from the darkest corners of the bar or floating around the bar staff. As soon as you make eye contact with the phantom eyes, they will lock on you and disappear. So, if you ever happen to find yourself at 941 Bourbon Street and think you see something out of the corner of your eye, maybe don't be so quick to brush it off as having had one too many. Could just be one of the many ghostly patrons of Lafitte's blacksmith shop.
Mm-hmm. And Lafitte's, you don't even, like, to me, looking at Lafitte's, you don't think that it's a two-story building. Like,
no.
The second floor must be, like, more like an attic. Like, it's just, because it's got a regular roof like a house does with, like, the, it's like a triangle-shaped roof. And it looks small when you're inside, so.
Yeah, and it's not like you're going upstairs, you know what I mean? It's just, like Haley said, it's like an attic. I'm looking because there's a really popular drink at Lafitte's that my friend loves. I'm going to tell everyone to try it. Do you remember what it is? Mm-hmm. I think it's just called Purple Drink.
Purple Drink. The Voodoo Daiquiri. It's a signature cocktail. Oh, okay. It's grape-flavored frozen daiquiri spiked with bourbon and Everclear.
Yum. Okay. So, yes. Purple Drink. Purple Drink is what my friend recommends. It's the official drink of unofficial cocktail of Lil Wayne. So there you go. A little pop culture for you.
And Lafitte's ghost is actually seen in multiple places in New Orleans. It's seen in Pirate's Alley, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think he's been seen in Pirate's Alley right next to the cathedral.
You would know more than me.
I think. Anyway.
I'm
gonna do my sources later, because if I say my source immediately, then it gives away what I'm doing. Okay. I do want to throw out the fact, I already told Caroline, but when I was looking up haunted bars, one of the websites I saw, the title was Spookeasies, and it makes me really, really, really want to start a bar. Like, open a bar, and it would be a spookeasy, and it would be like a creepy, ghost-themed, like, hidden behind a wall like a speakeasy. Yep. I can see it all in my head, and I love it. I love it.
I'm in.
All right. You know me. Whenever I do things at the last minute, it's a lot of plagiarism. but I will say that this first paragraph I am quoting directly from the website of this business because I loved it so much, and that's what we're going to do. Okay.
Sounds good.
So, for many decades, the city of New Orleans has embraced a reputation of refuge for the lost souls wandering the streets of the French Quarter. Here we celebrate death in life with a second line and befriend many spirits who have not crossed over yet living amongst us. It's said that when some people die, they never cross over because they have unfinished business to tend to, or even a burning love so deep they could never leave it behind. Sometimes that love is as home right here in the heart of New Orleans. But before we go to this restaurant bar that I'm going to talk about in The Ghost, we do have to go back a little for some history. Like way back to the beginning, New Orleans is beginning anyway. La Nouvelle Orleans was founded in the spring of 1718 by the French Mississippi Company under the direction of Jean-Baptiste Lemoyne de Bienville on land inhabited by the Chickamauga, which is should sound a little bit familiar because we mentioned it before. Our maternal grandfather was Chickamauga, so we do have some of that blood in...
It would be...
Maternal. Mom's father. Maternal grandfather.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And the Chickamauga, actually, their reservation today is in St. Mary Parish off Bayou Teche.
Yep.
So, a young French-Canadian named Claude Trepanier was a member of the expedition party led by Bienville that carved a clearing on the bank of the river and established the city we call home today. As a reward for his participation in the expedition, Claude was granted a plot of land where he constructed a house of brick between posts covered with shiplap siding, a bark shingled roof, a brick chimney, and a front gallery. Some locals believe that this structure used to hold slaves when they came off the boats before going up for auction, but that's actually not
true. I think I know what you're doing.
Although the house's carriageway dates back to the 1700s, some clairvoyants say that many troubled spirits reside here. This area was said to be where servants were housed in the evening, like I said. In 1721, the official grid pattern of the city was laid out, with the center being Place d'Armes, which is the parade grounds, and it's now Jackson Square. The central focus of the traditionally designed French town was the cathedral. With the laying out of the new city, Claude Trepanier's house became a key plot of land, as it was located directly beside the cathedral and is still today.
I know what you're doing.
So now that she knows what I'm doing, my source is Muriels.com and onlyinyourstate.com.
I almost did that one whenever I did something in New Orleans.
Yeah. Around 1745, Jean-Baptiste d'Estrahan, a man of great power and wealth considered to be the royal treasurer of French Louisiana colonies, acquired the property. He immediately tore down the humble little cottage and built an elaborate home of grandeur for his family. After his death in 1765, the house was passed to his son and then sold at an auction when the family money ran out. In 1776, Pierre-Philippe de Marigny purchased the grand residence and used it as one of his city homes when he came into town from his plantation on the outskirts of town, known as the Faubourg Marigny area today.
Faubourg Marigny.
Yeah, that. That. I don't know.
It's the Marigny.
I'm not a New Orleans person.
Close to New Orleans.
I'm not a New Orleans person. I know Baton Rouge better than New Orleans.
Well, it's 'cause Marigny.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. On March 21st, 1788, the Great New Orleans Fire started on Good Friday, which is this Friday for 2020.
Oh, well, that's
And it burned 856 of the 1,100 structures in the French Quarter, including the city's main church, the municipal building, the army barracks, armory, jail, a lot of the big places. During the tragedy, a portion of Pierre-Philippe's place, mansion, whatever you want to call it, was burnt. Just a piece of it, not the whole thing, though. During the next decade, the city of New Orleans was in a rebuilding phase, trying to recover from the fire that swept the quarter. The Spanish replaced what was left of the wooden buildings with thick brick-walled structures that included courtyards, arcades, and wrought iron balconies that you see today. Among the new buildings in Jackson Square were the St. Louis Cathedral, the Cabildo, the Presbyterian, and a piece of property Mr. Pierre-Antoine Leparty Jourdan purchased from... how you say that again?
Marigny.
Marigny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
The G is silent.
Yeah. I've heard it pronounced, though. It just depends on, I guess, who's saying it.
Well, the neighborhood in New Orleans, I've always heard called the Marigny.
Probably, but I do know some people do pronounce it. I just, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't know. Anyway. Pierre-Antoine Lepardie Jourdan built his dream home, restoring it to the original grandeur for his family and himself. Some of the charred walls and beams still stand there today. You can still see that they were burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Although he dearly adored his beautiful home, he was a man that could never quench his thirst for the thrill and excitement of gambling. In 1814, he wagered his beloved home in a poker game and crushingly lost the one thing he treasured most in life. The shock of the loss was so intense that before having to vacate the premises and hand over his beloved home, he tragically committed suicide on the second floor.
Oof.
The house was later owned by Julian Poydras, who was the president of the Louisiana State Senate and director of the Louisiana Bank. Poydras Street is named after him. He purchased the residence and refurnished it with lavish fineries. A year after moving into the home, he became ill and died. His widow and family continued to live in the home throughout the heyday of New Orleans, as she would say. They used the home as their city house, a place to entertain when they were in town away from their six plantations.
Oh, wow.
During the Civil War and for several years after, the Poydras family continued to own the home until it was sold to Theodore Laveau in 1881, who owned the property until 1891. During the years after the Civil War, hard times fell on the once-rich city. Hardest hit were the wealthy plantation owners, such as the Poydras. Much of the wealth and power had shifted from the old French families of the French Quarter to the American sector in the Garden District and Uptown. The houses and properties in the French Quarter began to fall into decay and were considered to be unfashionable.
Mm.
Peter Lepardie, who had made a fortune in cornering the orange market, purchased the building and remodeled it to its present look. The building was converted to a series of commercial businesses. Hill's Restaurant used a portion of the building, and the corner on Jackson Square was a bar. The Alec Lenoir Saloon, by 1895, the saloon was the home of the well-known Royal Club, which was a drinking club of New Orleans notables that was organized for fun, pure, and simple.
Hmm.
The building was purchased and served as a pasta factory and a grocery store on the first floor. It was the building was later converted into a restaurant called the Spaghetti Factory.
Yum.
The building became a chart house restaurant, which occupied the site for 25 years. The bottom portion of the building was used for several years during the 1970s as Heritage Hall and was home of the Heritage Hall Jazz Band. Muriel's Jackson Square opened its doors on March 10, 2001 at 801 Charter Street after an extensive restoration of the building to its former glory in the mid-1800s. The renovation tried to remain faithful to the original historic design of the building as a prime private residence. The restoration was done under a National Historic Tax Credit as administered by the National Park Service, which operates in the French Quarter as a National Historic Park. The key to the Loving Restoration Project was to bring back what had once been an elegant private home in the heart of the French Quarter. So, Pierre-Antoine Lepardie Jourdan is still with Muriel's today in spiritual form.
Mm-hmm.
His ghost doesn't appear in human form, like Caroline said, Jean Lafitte does, but instead is a glimmer of sparkly light wandering around the lounge, specifically the seance lounges on the second floor. The patrons and employees of Muriel's have also witnessed objects being moved throughout the restaurant. They believe Mr. Jourdan never left his true home and his true love and home in New Orleans. He continues to reside here to this day. Although Jourdan is considered to be their main resident, he is not the only spirit active in the historic building. They have a slightly mischievous ghost in their courtyard bar that roams the property. Three times since its opening, glasses have flown from behind the bar across 12 feet across to the brick wall and have shattered.
How about no?
Perhaps some servants stay behind to take care of him and go downstairs to throw glasses to release some angst. Other possibilities include previous patrons and owners of the property during the late 1800s and early 1900s. Or that it is Jourdan himself trying to get across to the other side or desperately trying to communicate with mortals he considers to be his family.
Aww.
Many paranormal investigations have occurred over the years with several reports stating that they've seen unexplainable strange shadows while hearing unknown voices nearby. The most activity comes from the seance lounge, where very distinct knocks on the brick wall may interact as communication. Audio of a female's voice have also been discovered when no female was present. The owners of Muriel's firmly believe that their resident ghosts are harmless and can sometimes be very entertaining. Those who have seen or felt a presence have never felt threatened, and instead they've welcomed an old kindred spirit to dine by always keeping a table reserved for Mr. Jourdan set with bread and wine in the carriageway.
I think that's so cool.
So that is Muriel's.
I love the tradition and kind of sort of the respect of like, like, in New Orleans, this isn't weird, you know? If you've never been to New Orleans, if you've been, you get it. If you've never been, it's just, the paranormal is as much part of the city as the parades and the food and the drink. It's just, it goes on, and it just, it's cool. It's cool that these kind of traditions live on.
Yeah, the leaving him a table thing kind of, like, gives me a Phantom of the Opera vibe with the leaving the box.
Yep.
And everything.
Just like that. Yep. Well, good job. Yeah, I'm glad you did Muriel's, because I had that one down. I had done some research on it a while back for one of the ones that we were covering.
Yeah, so I had looked over, like, there was a blog that somebody had debunked the whole thing, saying that no one had, like, it was not lost in a gambling debt. No one committed suicide or anything like that. Like, and they were, like, picking apart everything on Muriel's website. But I'm like, you know, let people believe. You know?
Let us have some fun. Look, like, a lot of our stuff we'll tell y'all, you know, we'll fact check as we need to, like with the true crime and even some of the folktale stuff. But the haunting stuff, I mean, you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt. If you're listening to us, you understand you got to take it with a grain of salt. What are you drinking?
Why?
Because I'm curious. I'll cut this if I need to.
High Noon.
Respect.
This is my first drink of the entire quarantine, so I felt good like if we were talking about bars for Blake's birthday, I had to have something.
Good for you. Which kind?
The pineapple one.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm about to break quarantine and go to the store because I have to get some stuff. So, that's on my list. Anyway, yes. So, little short snippet. We're going a little crazy and we're losing track of the days, but we'll keep bringing you guys content, and I will be back on social media by the end of this week. So excited about hopefully doing some live stuff with you guys and seeing what y'all been up to.
Maybe we'll watch some movies or some TV shows or something and have a running commentary going. We're home. Might as well.
Yes. So yeah, happy birthday, Blake.
Happy birthday, Blake. I'm not going to sing the song
because we all hate it.
Yeah.
Everybody wash your hands and cover your face with cloth.
Don't touch your face.
Don't touch your face. I say as I just scratched my nose and itched my elbow.
Me too.
Don't touch your face. But we're at home, so we've been washing our hands. Yes, rate, review, subscribe. Follow us on the social media. I will be back. It's Hereditary Pod. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Do you know what we're doing next time? Do you want to announce it or do you want me to?
You can, because I forgot to look.
I don't know if we're going to change it, but I'm kind of excited. We're going to do missing cases. It's a true crime episode, so we're going to do missing without a trace / unsolved. Unsolved gives me the heebie-jeebies, so I'm kind of sort of looking forward to this because I love the true crime ones, but I'm also kind of like, I don't know. But yes, missing. Who knows? Maybe we'll get like calls or something. People will have information.
No one talks to us. We'll get as much as we beg.
But we have fun. We talk to each other.
Yes. And we are shameless in our begging. Please email us. Please reach out to us on social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah.
Something. Say hi. Everybody's bored right now.
Everybody's bored. But yeah, with being back on social media, I'm hoping to do a little more live things. Maybe show you guys my garden that I've been working on. Since I don't have social media, I have to find other hobbies.
Introduce people to the pup.
Yep. So, yeah, that'll be good. I'm ready for this quarantine to end, but we'll make it through together. So, with that, sweet dreams, everyone.
Good night.